Good morning. It has been a while. It's probably over a year since I stood here to preach. Last time I thought I had the opportunity, I'd gotten my suit on. I just bought a suit and had it on and I said, this is my time to preach. And then I saw the kids, the teens, all lined up. And each one was just going on and sharing about this great thing about the teens thing. I'm thinking, man, are we going to have a preaching time today? And it just went on. I thought, wow, the Lord definitely humbled me that day. He didn't want me to preach from the infants. He wanted to hear from the kids. And I thought to myself, okay, today, let me not put a suit on. Because who knows what the Lord might do. But today, yeah, that's why I'm here with my shirt on. So, amen. But before I go on, before I preach today, there's an announcement for the singles. There'll be a singles get-together at the Moon Under the Water pub on London Road after church. If you're a single and you want to have a good time, want to fellowship with the singles, there'll be a get-together at the Moon Under the Water pub. Well, what a name, eh? Amen. But before I continue, I want to introduce my brother. Iggy is visiting from the church in Atlanta. Amen. By the way, I'm also wondering, I'm not going to look at the time. So you'll be prepared for a long sermon. Pretty short indeed. Now, I have been thinking, there's a character in the Bible that I wanted to share about. And I thought it would be a good thing to share about this woman because her life definitely transformed me, has helped me to see clearly what serving the Lord is all about. So many accounts have been written about this woman. And even not too long ago, a few days ago, there was a program on her on TV. But I decided not to watch it because in the past, when I sit down to watch any religious program, like a documentary concerning a character in the Bible or Jesus, is usually very negative. And I decided not to. Then I looked at, and I said, okay, let me share about this woman. I looked on the internet, and I saw quite a few articles, and some were very negative. They said she was a prostitute, and Jesus Christ took out several demons off her, and they gave the list, the seven sins. You know, I don't know if you know this theory about seven sins. And they said those were the sins that Jesus Christ took off her, from her. And they were called all stories. They said, oh, she's from Magdala. There's a place in the Palestine, Magdala. And they assume that Magdalene means that she's from Magdala. So if you are John, your last name could be John Magdalene. Is that true? I doubt that very much. But I'm talking about Mary Magdalene. There are different accounts in the Bible. The scriptures, the gospel, they talked about, as we know, different people wrote the scriptures, but they gave very similar accounts. But it's an account that I do appreciate and I feel that brings a lot out of this woman is in John, and it's John that we're going to be looking at today. I would like us to turn to John 19. So Mary, in all these accounts, Mary Magdalene, and something that I also notice is that every area in the scriptures in the New Testament, when he talks about Mary Magdalene, he definitely says it. He doesn't just say Mary. Because in the Palestine in those days, there were so many Marys. Even in the while Jesus Christ was being crucified, there were different Marys. Mary this, Mary that, Mary the wife of this. You know, so Mary was a very popular name in Palestine in those days. So but when the Bible talks about Mary, it's talking about, it defines it, Mary Magdalene. So you're not confused. When it says Mary, it's not talking about Mary, the Martha's sister. You know, but people assume that in some articles, people assume that Mary is the sister of Martha. But there are so many Marys. But we're talking now about Mary Magdalene. I hope that is clear. John 19. Let's turn there. I promised my wife that I was going to speak slowly and clearly. She says she knows I have a lot to say, but I have to calm down a little bit. What can you do what can I do? My wife is so awesome. Let's start from John 19. from verse 25, I'll read. 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, there, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Who would you expect to find near the cross of Christ at this time? His mother was there, which to me, that is a normal thing, because we know that mothers love their children no matter how terrible they are. There's this love, this maternal love, and you definitely expect the mother to be there. Really, really sad to see her son, you know, raised up by her and seeing all the things you're experiencing, probably at this time remembering all the good times they had together. And it's so obvious, so true that she was there. And there was his sister also for support, you know, at that time she needed support. And Mary's sister was there also supporting her. And of course, John, the disciple whom the Bible describes as Jesus Christ loved. And we know John later on wrote the book of 1 John and spoke deeply about Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Mary Magdalene. The name appears again. Mary Magdalene was there. Who is this woman, Mary Magdalene? You know, how did Jesus Christ feel about these people? He must have been encouraged to see the mother there. You know? And he told John, the disciple, says, take care of my mother. And that was what Jesus Christ did. He demonstrated his love to his mother, could see her teary eyes, could see that she was in pain. And Jesus Christ was concerned and made sure that she was taken care of. Although Jesus Christ had other brothers, maybe they were not Christians at that time. Maybe eventually they became Christians. But at that time, John was there. Who's Mary Magdalene? In Matthew 27, we can turn there, and it tells us a bit about Mary Magdalene. Matthew 27, I shall read from verse 55. And it says, many, are we there? It says, many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. You see, Mary was among the women who took care of Jesus Christ's needs. She was always there taking with other women. Women were meeting their needs. They were probably organizing themselves and making sure that the needs of the disciples were met. And they played a significant role in the ministry of Jesus. And in Mark 15, verse 40, it says, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Again, it's just telling us again that Mary Magdalene was among the women who was helping Jesus and in the ministry to make sure that his needs were met. And definitely Mary, at that point, plays a significant role in the movement. In Luke 8, let's turn there. I hope you are with me. In Luke 8, verse 1 and 3, it says, After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and villages to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. That is amazing. These women, again, working hard, you know, and remember in Acts, I don't know if she was there, I doubt if she was there. Also, the woman who sold purple clothes, I think that's in Acts 6 or 5, where Peter, when she died, Peter went and raised her up. And also when Paul went to go and pray, time of prayer, he met Lydia. Lydia was also a prominent woman. And all these women, that's what they were doing. They were supporting out of their own means. Isn't that incredible? They definitely were committed to Jesus, to Christ. And Mary Magdalene was there. She definitely loved. It says Jesus had taken 7 demons from her. Now imagine how she was before Jesus took 7 demons from her. She would have been, each time in the Bible it talks about demons, we talk about people who were not behaving normally. She was definitely probably crazy. I mean, she was really, really in a bad state. If I think of a mad person, I'll consider her to be crazy. I mean, if 7 demons is in you, why your thoughts cannot be together? You'd be doing things like a mad person. You remember the madman in the cave when Jesus Christ came? He said nobody could come close to him. He would break up the chains. He would scream. You know, I can't even imagine Mary Magdalene. She was a mad person. She was probably walking and people will not go close to her. That is what I would imagine. A person with 7 demons, wouldn't you? That was what she was like. That was what she was before she came to Jesus. Probably like the man in the cave, like I said. But Jesus gave her a new life. Jesus took the demons off her. And she became new again. She did not have a past anymore. Jesus wiped out the slate. She did not have any memory of her past, I'm sure. I'm sure also people would have reminded her of her past. So she probably walked around. People probably say, that's Mary Magdalene. Remember, Jesus took 7 demons off her. She's probably feeling insecure about all these sort of things. But she was committed to Jesus. Because in Jesus, she's found a new life. A new life. And she was part of a fellowship where Jesus Christ preached love. Where she was welcomed. Although people remember what she was like before, but she felt loved by Jesus. And because of the love of Jesus, she was prepared to give her heart. She was always with Jesus. She was excited about her newfound life and the friends that she had. Because they have everything in common now. The past is gone. It's a new life. She was excited. You know, I remember long time ago, in 89, myself, I keep reminding you guys of this, I know. Maybe I have to think of another story. But 87, we decided to go to Africa to set up a new church. We were all determined. We were so excited about a new teaching because we thought that, man, people do not know what the scripture is teaching. And so there was excitement. And when we went over and taught people were shocked and amazed. Reason why? Because they were looking at us and saying, in normal circumstances, you don't come back to Nigeria after you've finished your education. You think about new profession. You think about, man, this is my life. I'm going to build it up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now you have the freedom to travel wherever. You have the resources to do this. And people could not relate to the fact that these men, young men, some very few married, Tox and Alex were married. The rest of us were all single. That we would go back there and preach. So they were excited. And guess what? The early converts were so excited that they would go, they were at everything, they would go and bring their friends. The church grew rapidly. Because that was the message. They could see that this is a new life. And their life changed. And even now, when I look at the church right now in Lagos, the pillars of the church are those early converts. Because it's a new life. They run their successful business, but they are there strengthening the church. And that was what it was about. You know, if we go to John, let's go to John 20. In John 20, reading from verse 1, this is the story. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. And this is the woman, very early, Mary Magdalene again. And in other accounts, it tells us with another lady, went very early in the morning to the tomb. And the reason why they went there was because they wanted to embalm Jesus. Though Jesus Christ was dead, I do not think, because I know from some of the scriptures, that they were not thinking about the resurrection. She was thinking about Jesus. And so she couldn't do it on the Sabbath because she, out of respect for the Sabbath. So she waited the next day. She, very early in the morning, she wouldn't let go of Jesus. Very early in the morning, she went to go and embalm Jesus. Her love for Jesus was strong even after death. She was so eager to carry out her act of love. She was so eager to do the final act on Jesus, her Lord, the man who has come to transform her life. Isn't that what Jesus Christ has done for us? Sometimes when I think about what I could be doing now, it's just mind-boggling. In myself, I probably consider myself a good guy. I do not hurt anybody. But I tell you, who knows, 20 years after I became a disciple, if I had not become a disciple 20 years after, what life would I be living now? Do I or you, do we appreciate Jesus enough to say, come on, I'm going to love him till the end? That was what Mary Magdalene's attitude was. I'm going to love Jesus till the end. And she went out there early in the morning, eager to carry out an act of love. While everyone else was carrying on with their lives, I wonder where all the other disciples were. They are probably carrying on with their lives. Hey, the men had probably gone fishing. The women, quite a few women, they were at a distance, even at the cross there. They were, and that is what I see in scriptures, that Jesus Christ, the women were so around Jesus Christ, and he allows them to carry out the act of love. The women were always serving. The women were giving their heart. And that was the ministry that Jesus Christ developed there. But this woman, very early, she went over there and did what she needed to do. In verse 3, from that same chapter, it says, so Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. I wonder why. Probably, who knows what Peter had eaten that day. And reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. He saw and believed the story that Jesus Christ, but he was not there, but not that Jesus Christ had risen. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You know, Peter ran, and this guy ran towards the tomb. Like I said, I did not believe they ran in excitement. Oh, wow, Jesus Christ has resurrected. Hallelujah. It is true. But I think they ran to the tomb because they were curious. It was out of curiosity. Because if they had believed in the resurrection, they would not have been running. They would have expected it anyway. Peter would have just strolled down and said, well, I told you guys so. Jesus Christ said it. He's going to resurrect. And let's go. Let's go and see the Lord. And if they really believe, guess what? The followers would have been there singing songs. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The Lord has arisen. But they did not believe. So they were not there. They were not there. Peter and these guys ran.
Because, wow, what magic. What? Probably these guys have taken his body. You know, but if they believe the resurrection, they would have been there. It just reminds me of both the Jamaican runner, the man of the moment. I was so surprised, that after he won the 100 meters, guess what was blasting around the stadium? Reggae music. How did these guys in China, would you expect to find reggae music in China? Reggae music was blasting away, and he was, you know, I'm thinking, man, these guys, they knew that he was going to do it. So they were prepared that he was going to win. So reggae music was blasting away. And the same, if those disciples knew, they would have been by the tomb expecting the miracles to happen. You see, the only sad thing is, we live our lives not believing, but hoping that it might be true. Sometimes we look for excitement. If there's no excitement, our faith is down. But if we believe, our life, nothing changes in our lives. Nothing at all. Sometimes we think, how am I? Not our needs, because God has promised he will meet our needs. He knows our needs. But we want our wants to be met. They are two different things. God will always, that's his promise, he will meet our needs. But sometimes we want to add an extra bit to it. And when God does not meet those wants, we are discouraged. We do not have hope anymore. We are hoping, we live in hope, we are hoping that what we have read and the life that we're living half-heartedly might be true, might come to fruition. Maybe God might exist, or Jesus Christ's resurrection might be true. Maybe we might be in heaven. So it's all half-hearted. It's not whole-hearted. Think about the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins, 10 were foolish, the Bible tells, and 10 were wise. Those who were wise, they filled their lamp, and they had spare. Because just in case the master does not come on time, maybe delayed by London transport, that if the lamp, if it burns, there'll be enough to last. Isn't that amazing? And that's how Jesus Christ viewed those people. He says they were wise. Do we live like we believe the resurrection? Because that is what our faith is. The resurrection means that this life that we live in the body is temporary. That the life to come is spiritual. And so, because we hope for future, to be with God in eternity, we do not allow the physical to control our emotions, to control our thinking. So we allow the Spirit of God to walk in our lives so that we will follow the Spirit of Christ and then eventually make it to heaven. I look at myself sometimes, and I think sometimes, or most times, I fall short of this. And some of you, I'm sure, would relate. Sometimes we forget what our purpose is. We forget to do what we ought to. Sometimes we compromise because we are fearful. We don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. Sometimes we scheme or we tell lies so that we can get our way. We do not trust in God anymore. And to trust in God means that you believe that there is, God is over all. He is the power. His promises are sure because he promises so many things. It's one of the scriptures that people keep quoting. It's one of my favorite scriptures in Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? But if we're thinking of man, what can man do to me? Wow, I better play my cards right or else man will get me. Then that is no faith. But if you're truthful and says, no, God is my helper, man can do nothing to me, then you will live a life of peace, calmness, and God will be exalted because God is pleased, and he will exalt himself, and he will honor you because you've honored him first. This lady was totally devoted to Christ. And let's pick it up from verse 10 of the same chapter. It says, Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Now, the incredible thing that I picked up here says the disciples went back to their homes. These are the men, the two men. They said, well, good while it lasted. And they just went. And they saw an extraordinary thing. The tomb, the big stone was rolled back. They could have asked, who could have taken those stones out? That stone, huge, mighty stone. Who could have rolled it? The linen was there. Jesus wasn't there. Man, whew, what's happened? These guys were just resigned. He died. He's gone. Let's just go carry on our lives. They probably went fishing like we know. You know, but the Bible says, but, what does it say here? It says, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She was crying. She was in tears. She doesn't see the Lord anymore. She was moved. The dream wasn't over for her. You know, these guys went back to their old ways of life. They went back fishing. No vision, no dreams. Like today, the men, I would have gone watching football. I would have gone watching Liverpool against Man United. You see, but one thing I do appreciate about women are deep. They're very deep. Women are deep. You hang around women, strong women. Sometimes my wife stays on the phone. I do not know what she's talking about. I'm trying to use the phone downstairs. She's upstairs using the phone with her diary next to her. People were trying to get hold of us, and they said, we've been trying to get hold of you. Your phone is constantly busy. But we, the guys, hello, how's it going? How's life? I'll see you on Sunday. I'll see you on Saturday. Bye. There's nothing, not deep, nothing much to talk about. You know, we've got to appreciate the women in our congregation. We brothers, we've got to encourage our wives to let them lose. Let them lose. Let them fellowship. Let them do what they do best. Let them serve. I appreciate the women serving the other day, trying to raise money for the teens. I don't know whose idea was it, but it was a great idea to come out to sell some of your old clothes. I must applaud you for that. And that was what the women, she stood there, she was crying. Where have you, she was crying for Christ. Why did she love so much? Even in death. She was the last to leave the tomb. You know, and the reason why I believe she loved so much, in Luke 7, let's turn there. Luke 7, verse 36. This is the reason I believe she loved so much. And this is in line with Jesus Christ's statement. Luke 7, verse 36. It says, now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said.
Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." Isn't that amazing? And that's what Jesus Christ, I believe, she loved much. She appreciates where she was and how Christ has transformed her to a new person with a meaningful life. And she was prepared to give whatever it takes to God because she appreciates what she's been through and how Christ has blessed her and brought her to a new life. Because of her genuine love for Jesus, I believe, he sent his angels to her to reassure her that all is well. Because she gave her heart. She gave her heart. And so Christ allowed those angels to appear to her and to comfort her. But let's think about it. Was Peter also in the tomb? Did he see what Mary Magdalene saw? She did. Why didn't the angel appear to Peter? Why did the angel appear to Mary and her friend? Because Christ sent those angels to comfort her, to say, all is well. It's not all gone. Let me find my scriptures. All is well. See, in verse, they asked her. It says, and I also remember that scripture where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You know, she was mourning. She definitely, genuinely, not feeling good about this situation. They have taken my Lord. And God comforted her. Because that was his promise in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I believe, and I've seen it so many years in the churches. If you serve and give your heart, God will comfort you and bless you. God will. If you give your heart, God will bless you. Do not be concerned about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Do not be concerned about the same kind of concerns that the world has. Give your heart and God will comfort you. God will comfort you. That is the promise. If you serve God, he will give you comfort. You see, one thing that I try to think of each time I try to establish in my heart is that I did not become a Christian for my needs or my wants to be met. God will meet my needs as he promised. But I have become a Christian because I believe it's the truth. There is no other way. Which other way is better than knowing Christ and having, hopefully, genuine friends, people who are able to share their love with you, their weaknesses, allowing you to open up and you can open up yourself. You can pray together and encourage one another. Which other way can you live? The people out there, they are hoping, they do not have that same opportunities. They do not have those kind of things because their minds and their hearts are all clouded. But our minds are not clouded anymore because Christ has revealed himself to us. And one thing also I noticed, if you do not serve and give your heart, it becomes boring. You'll be looking for excitement you won't find. You're thinking, man, what's happening? Oh, let me go there. Excitement? Oh, nothing. You come there, you go there, you're looking for something to stimulate. Yeah, it's not going to be there. What? Another scripture that comes to mind says again, another saying, it says, it's blessed to give than to receive. All these are words that come out from the mouth of Jesus. You see,
In verse 13, it says, they asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to Mary, to her, "Mary," she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. What an incredible story. "I have seen the Lord." She was excited. Her morning, God. You know, let's not forget that Mary, Peter and John all entered the tomb. When Mary came back and told the rest of the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." How exalted she must have felt. Peter, probably you would be thinking, "I was there. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see the angel." You see, once I do believe, I did not think Jesus necessarily wanted to appear. This is my conviction. Did not really want to appear at that time to Mary. But he had to. Because he saw that she was distraught. And he wanted to encourage her. He says, "Do not hold on to me. Go instead, go and tell my brothers. I have not yet returned to the Father." See, Jesus Christ changed his plans to comfort Mary Magdalene. Now, a group of guys, the disciples, were probably sitting. Who knows what they were doing? And Mary came and said, "Hey, I've seen the Lord." It is so easy for Peter to be bitter, because he wasn't the one who saw the Lord. Because, like we know about Peter, the character of Peter, he could have been, he would have, if he had seen the Lord, he would have come back and said, "Hey, I've seen the Lord." He would have been exalted in that way. But Jesus Christ took this woman. He appeared to her first, the first person he appeared to. And she went and told Peter. I think Peter also felt insecure. Maybe doubt, maybe jealousy, who knows? And it's so easy that if people get excited, you see someone getting excited, and they share about their lives and how God is doing, it's so easy if we don't guard our hearts to go, here you go again. But again, if you give your heart, Christ will comfort you. And that is what has happened here. How do you feel when people are excited or zealous and are joyful or committed or are prepared to serve? You know, one thing though, I need to lift up here is Uncle Frank. You know, Uncle Frank is going to be 80 next year. Isn't that amazing? When I see him, I always say to him, "Uncle Frank, I hope that when I'm 80, I'm still as strong and vigorous like you are, as you are right now." If Uncle Frank was walking down the street, you don't think he's 80, you think he's 74. You spend time with Uncle Frank, he shares the scriptures. He shares about what he's learning. Uncle Frank took it upon himself to start how should I use those words? I'm politically correct. The senior citizens of the church. You know, took upon himself, saying, "I want to meet their needs. I want to have, maybe their needs have not been met. I want to have a group meeting." He says, "No, I cannot do it weekdays. I want to do it on Sundays when they are here so that they can be encouraged, so that we can talk specifically about their needs." I said, "Brother, go for it." And he does that. And I think of Auntie Mabel. Since she became a Christian, anytime I go anywhere to a party, I see Aunt Mabel there with her stick. Either the son drops her, or the daughter who's not part of the church drops her, or Roger Frimpong and Jackie drops her, and she comes with her bowl of rice, jollof rice. And I love that jollof rice. And you see, these people are excited about their newfound life. And that is what has happened here. Christ, this Mary Magdalene, gave her all. You know, again, if you do not give your heart, you start to doubt. And that's what happens. We'll talk about Thomas, who wasn't with the guys. He was somewhere else, the Bible. I wonder what he was doing. He was probably thinking, it's all over, it's finished. Let me get on with my life. He wasn't there when Jesus Christ appeared. Doubt has crept in. Doubt crept in into their fellowship. But you know, our Lord gave them a second chance. With Peter in John 21, he says, do you truly love me? Because Peter has gone fishing. He said, feed my sheep. Do you truly? Three times Peter felt offended, but it's true. Jesus Christ says, man, what are you doing? Don't you believe the resurrection? Come on. Here is my people. Go for it. I have been there. I've shown you examples to follow. Go for it. But Peter did not have the faith. He did not believe that this was happening. He went fishing. You know? People, we have to give our heart. This, whatever is happening around us, it doesn't really matter. You know, when Jesus Christ also said, when you go do your master's work, do you expect the master to say, thank you for doing the work? It's not so. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, listen, even if we're not going to bow down to your image, even if the Lord did not even come to our rescue, we will not bow down. That is faith. We're not here as Christians for everything to go right with us. And sometimes I hear tragedy happens in the Christian, I'm thinking, man, woof, that is tough. But hey, heaven is our rest. It's not going to be easy. Who says it's going to be easy? Did Christ not say, or Paul not say, we have to suffer? Did Jesus Christ not say to Paul, who's his name now? The guy in Damascus is told him that Paul or Saul would have to suffer for his name. Didn't the apostles say that after they had been flogged in the temple, they said they considered they were unworthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ? Why do we expect it to be less 2,000 years later? You know, and that is the decision we have to make. We have an opportunity right now to build God's church. Are you going to give your heart? Are you going to give, contribute some way or the other in the areas where you can? We all have different gifts. Let's use those gifts to build God's church. You'll be comforted. Let's not continue the way things are going right now. Let's change. Let's give our heart. Let's not wait for leadership to solve our problems. Let's give her. There's countless stories I can give. Brothers setting up their own Bible group, going out to pray, fasting, using their own initiative. That is so encouraging to hear that. If we're going to leave here today, there's one thing I would like us to remember, is that our needs will be met. If we give our heart, we will be comforted. That's the promise of God. We've got to hold on to the promise of God. But if we do not give our hearts, there will be doubt, there will be faithlessness, we'll be bored, we'll not get excited, we'll want people to sing songs that inspire us. It's not going to happen. But the best way to reach our goal, to find comfort and peace, is to give our heart to Christ. Thank you so much. Amen.